are looking at and trying to focus attention on investing, especially in the 10 to the 40-year-old who actually don't get any investment, and people don't look at them. All the statistics that we do collect, we start from 15. When we look at what goes on in the lives of these young girls, they are the ones who are married off early. They're the ones who are open to the issues of female genital mutilation. They're the ones who never actually are able to go to school and stay in school. So we felt that we have to redirect attention to them so that we can begin to get traction around them. If we look at the SDGs and what we have to do with the Sustainable Development Goals, girls matter. I always say that the 10-year-old girl today will be 25 by the time we finish implementing the Sustainable Development Goals. She's the SDG generation. She's the one that we will track and see whether we've done well. And basically, how we treat her, how we protect her, how we make sure that she gets an education, protecting her rights, preventing gender-based violence, preventing early and forced marriage.
Investing in teenage girls as much as boys, to some extent, of course, it's flying in the face of cultural tradition in many parts of the world. I mean, how do you convince mostly male politicians and leaders in these countries that it's necessary and the right thing to do?
We've been able to engage with them, and The economic argument is one which many people buy. What she brings back in terms of dividend, you know, a demographic dividend in the long term, is one in which she actually contributes to the growth of our own economy and the economy of our community. And sometimes, you know, I try to locate it at a personal level. So I asked them, do you have a daughter? Would you like your daughter to be married off at the age of 6? He says, no. Okay, fine. So we're talking. Would you like your daughter to go to school and get a degree and be able to be self-determined? He said, yes, okay. Talking to politicians and religious leaders and community leaders, we're able to persuade them that, you know, there is no culture, you know, we should condone this. And that does not mean that we are not going to look after boys. We look after boys as well.
As you say, teenage girls are especially susceptible to sex trafficking and genital mutilation and cutting and becoming victims of crime in general. Are there special policies that the UN should seek to promote and to protect their rights?
Well, I think the UN is doing quite a bit, you know. The issue of female genital mutilation, for instance, is one in which all the member states unanimously endorsed the resolution to abandon female genital mutilation. What we're able to do with the Sustainable Development Goals, rights feature very, very prominently in that. And the issue of gender and gender equality is there too. So I think that we are moving in the right direction.
And will it be your toughest task, in a way, to reach those very marginalised girls and women who are, say, from an ethnic minority or who live in rural areas, which are hard to reach and are desperately poor?
Well, that's what UNFA does and does well, you know, because we do work on the ground. We actually do also work with our partners, you know, that actually put activities on the ground so that we can provide empowerment for the women and the girls to be able to overcome this. And whilst doing it, talk to men, talk to boys, and actually empower boys and men to tell them that it's okay for women and girls to be empowered. It doesn't take anything away from men.